B-Pod Studios.
Yeah. Tim, tell us what went on today of note.
Well, it was a lighter day for the boys after a three-hour padded practice with live hitting. So they went down to the shorts and shells, and Jason Kelce, as a veteran center, got the day off. And they made it kind of light on the first team, so you saw a lot of Nate Sudfeld, probably something that'll be a trend as we start getting into mm-hmm. the preseason. But I feel like every day it's been a different piece of their weaponry that gets featured. So we've seen DeSean Jackson have his days. Yesterday it was Nelson Agholor. Today, I felt like it was more like the tight end. So we saw Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz getting fed from both Carson Wentz and Nate Sudfeld. And then Alshon Jeffrey, who I feel like is like an afterthought mm-hmm. in this offense, which is a little weird.
Yeah, they haven't been talking about Alshon much.
Yeah, he's still considered, I think, a premier wide receiver.
Still look pretty good.
But still looks good. Yeah. Still looks like Alshon Jeffrey. And today was a reminder of just another weapon that they have. And the same thing would be said for Darren Sproles. He got loose today on the route and scored a touchdown. And so it's just every day you're just like, okay, that's right. They have this guy. They have that guy. It's, one after the next.
It's amazing that these guys are staying at the same level here because Sean's faster than ever, and you just mentioned Sproles looking good. These guys don't get old.
It's pretty crazy, right?
It is crazy.
Yeah, they got 36-year-old Darren Sproles. They got 32-year-old Jackson, and I mean, that's not to say that they're all going to hold up over the long haul. I think that's probably one of the concerns about this team. And I know that part of the conversation has been about, what are the things that could hold this team back? I mean, I believe, it's 12 of their starters of a potential 22 that are 29 years or older. I mean, this is an older mm-hmm. roster.
Yeah.
These guys, like, can they make it to the finish line? I think that's really one of the questions. And that certainly applies to guys like Sproles, who missed 10 games with a hamstring injury last year, to DeSean Jackson, but at least for now, they still look like they got that juice.
Yeah, and that's the way we have to judge it and what they are now. So when I look at this, and I've read, like, my areas of concern are the obvious ones, and that's the injury concern with the quarterback, the injury concern with the left tackle, and who they're going to play at cornerback. So let's talk about, first of all, the quarterback, because you brought up Sudfeld. Anyway, I don't know if we should give this more thought than or are we overthinking it? Because if Carson Wentz gets hurt, the question is, are they adequate enough? How many games can they win if he does get hurt with this backup as opposed to the other backup?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the way I look at that. If it's a short-term fix, let's say Wentz is out for four games during the course of the middle of the regular season, and you need Sudfeld to go in there and just keep the boat afloat. Yeah, I think he can do that for reasons of a lot of the supporting cast that he's going to have. I mean, if he just plays point guard and lets the stars do their thing, then this team has a chance to weather that storm. If it's a similar scenario as how it unfolded the past two seasons, where Wentz goes down late and he's not coming back, and you're asking Sudfeld to be the guy mm-hmm. to get into the postseason and carry you into a Super Bowl, to me, that is 100% unrealistic. And the reason why is, Nick Foles didn't become Nick Foles overnight. There's a lot of trials mm-hmm. that he had to go through in this league before he could even get that type of seasoning where he could stand up to that kind of moment. He had to be the starter and have success and then have failure, get traded.
Now he's creeping behind you for some reason. Now, are we now plugged in?
I have to turn it down.
You got to turn.
Oh.
Am I firing out?
Well, I don't know what's going on here, technically. We've had. Oh. Oh, we have to lower your microphone.
Is that what it is?
Lower the microphone, not the volume.
How's that?
But Nat, that's all right. Nat got a cameo.
All right.
In the middle of your thought, there you go.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. When you said lower the microphone, you're looking for the volume control. That's hysterical. Did I mess up your train? Wait a minute. Hold it. The Astros just got Zach Greinke.
Oof.
The Astros got Zach Greinke. So a major player was moved. There it is. Now you've been interrupted twice on your thought.
Yeah, but what? The train of thought is still
there. All right, so go ahead.
Yes, and Nick Foles had to get traded. He had to almost retire and then come back as a backup, and then he was an afterthought when he signed here. And it took all of those things, I think, as kind of, shaping the man and the quarterback to have that kind of moment. And it's nothing against Sudfeld. He just hasn't had any experience, 25 snaps in the NFL.
So Sudfeld is kind of somewhere between Nick Foles and Matt Barkley. But closer to Nick Foles, possibly.
Yeah, I think he's above Barkley. They think that he could be starting caliber. He just doesn't have any experience.
We were talking about this, and it's, I hate to talk about it because, you know, when you talk about it, you put bad juju on it. But if like Wentz gets off to a good start and they're like 8-2, and he gets hurt and Sudfeld has to take over for the rest of the season, what do they end up with?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that would be like they can still get into the playoffs, end up winning, 10, 11 games or whatever the case may be. But I just wouldn't have confidence that he's experienced or has pedigree enough to then lead them onto the charge. I just don't know how realistic that is when you have the rest of the NFC, assuming they have their starting quarterbacks and being able to get that done.
Okay, so I'm a little more comfortable with the Jason Peterson because I know a guy can step in and maybe play for him. I'm not sure about the quarterback. So let's look now at the cornerbacks. I mean, you know what? I didn't bring this up to you because they acquired him about a week ago, but Orlando Scandrick, where does he figure in this mix at cornerback?
Well, I think the fact that Cravon LeBlanc went down with an injury that they think might take some time for him to get back from, that they're just adding depth, especially at the slot position, at the nickel corner position, just in case. I don't know that he's somebody that's going to jump in and be in the mix immediately, but a veteran presence that can give them some depth. And I think it's, needed depth, considering that we still haven't seen Jalen Mills because he's on PUP, that Ronald Darby's coming back from an ACL, and it's no guarantee that he's going to be in there. And so he adds to a mix of what we've seen as the primary guys, as being Rasul Douglas on the right side and then Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox splitting between outside corner and in the slot. And I would say if we're looking for encouraging signs from the secondary, given those absences and those injuries, Sidney Jones is the place to look. The way that Jim Schwartz put it is that, there's been a lot of sunken investment costs, startup costs for Jones and guys like him, but he is starting to see the payoff of the things that he's been through. He looks healthy and confident and is making plays consistently, and that's not something that we've seen out of him before. Whether that translates to the field, obviously we still have to see that.
We still have to see it.
I know there's skepticism around him, and I think that's built in, and it's rightly so, but good signs early anyway.
All right, I hold in front of me this one of your colleagues at ESPN.com ranked every NFL position group from 1 to 32. The Eagles came out number 1 in two areas and number 2 overall for their overall talent level in the NFC. First of all, they were at offensive line, they were at tight end, and the overall they were second to the Saints and ahead of the Rams. Do you agree with all those assessments?
Yeah, offensive line, I can't see there being a team with more depth at offensive line than they have, and I think that Dillard is a hit. I mean, people who are analyzing him so far seem to be very happy with where he's at. And tight ends, I don't think there's a better 1-2 combo in the NFL than Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. And it's hard to tell the difference between the two. I mean, that's how advanced I feel like Goedert is. Like, is that 86 or 88? I mean, their body types are so similar. What they can do after the catch, what they can do when the ball's in the air is all there. And I would put them right up, with the Saints. Personally, I don't know if Drew Brees is going to start taking a step back, but it seems like it's got to happen at some point.
And why wouldn't it happen this year?
Yeah, it could happen this year. I think it started to happen a little bit last year. I might be kind of alone in that.
Wasn't his wide receiver making more money than he is now?
Yeah, $100
million? You've got to be kidding me. Michael Thosby got $100 million.
Yeah, he was in a good position. He was in a position of strength, apparently.
All right, so what else do we have to learn here in the next in the coming days? What's the anticipation spot?
Well, one thing is they have to sort out what they're going to do at running back. And Miles Sanders is a guy that is continuing to separate himself by the way that he looks and operates on the field. And I was talking to Brandon Graham today, and he's just like, that guy's a beast. I said, how can you tell? How can you tell after 6 days, And he just said, listen, some guys have it and some guys don't, and you can tell, and he has it. He talked about his foot quickness. He talked about his explosion. He talked about the fact that he's getting his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage. And the same type of buzz that has been generated sort of on the outside from guys watching on the sideline, you're starting to hear the similar buzz from his teammates. And they're just going to have to figure out exactly how they go about it, because there's no proven track record, clearly, from a rookie, and yet he's emitting these signs like you'd be crazy not to get him in the mix. So they have to figure out with how they're going to feed all of these mouths. That means Sanders with Howard, with Corey Clement, with Darren Sproles in the backfield. That means with Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert and DeSean Jackson and Nelson Agholor. There's just so, I mean, it's a good problem to have for them, clearly, but there's just so many options that they're going to have to figure out how it's all sort of slotted and distributed. And Wentz has some bit of pressure on him that he has to make sure all the mouths are fed and that egos don't start creeping in. Because there was a couple whispers, obviously, last year. Ertz is getting the ball too much and this, that, and the other thing. And so, you know, it's kind of keeping the egos in check and distributing it out.
Can't they just be a two running back team and an occasional Sproles wheel route? You know, I mean, if those two kids, they create a thunder and lightning situation and forget about getting other guys involved.
Well, Sanders might press them into that kind of situation, I feel like. If he keeps...
That'd be enough for me.
Yeah.
Two backs.
He keeps going on that trajectory, you're just going to have... I mean, he's going to have to be... You know, you're not going to have space for everybody else.
If I hop on this... Tyrone, if I hop on this Miles Sanders bandwagon, does that make me a weasel? Because I haven't been that enamored. Yeah. And I'm Penn State proud, as you know.
Yeah, but you
can't. Might make me a weasel to hop back on?
You can't. Not yet.
No, why?
After the first preseason game, you can. Next week, you can. You can already.
Well, yeah.
But did you hop off?
I underestimated him. I didn't think it was that great of a... You know, I saw him all last year, and I wasn't that wowed by him. And so now I got to double back, which makes me a weasel in a lot of respects.
So give it a week, and then he's allowed to hop back
on? As soon as you see him in any kind of game, and you say, look at that 30-yarder.
So I'm time in the sin bin, and then you're back
in. Yeah. Last question. J.J. Arcega Whiteside. Mm-hmm. Haven't really heard much about him, but I understand today they were focused on him in the red zone.
He got a little bit of work, and one thing that was somewhat of a surprise was yesterday he had one of the biggest plays where there was a tipped ball. It went off of Aguilar's fingers. Arcega Whiteside caught it on the right sideline, and he raced 80 yards. And this was during a live period where there was tackling, so it's not like the defense was just doing it halfway. And he outraced the entire defense and ran 80 yards for the touchdown, showing off some jets to kind of go along with the hops that we had seen previously. It's absolutely right that he hasn't flashed as much as he did in the spring. I think that happens a lot to rookies. Once you start getting into like a more intense environment, the pads come on and more veterans are taking part. Like those rookies can take a step back. And I think that has happened with Arcega Whiteside. But overall, it's been positive. Like given what rookie wide receivers usually look like, I think that he's on a positive trajectory where you can at least give him some kind of package during the season, red zone, a handful of plays where he can kind of add in with the rest of those guys.
All right. Sounds good. Timmy, thanks for coming in today, man.
Always a pleasure,
man. In the neighborhood?
I came in to do the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, well, thanks for stopping
by later.
We'd love to. You're welcome anytime to see that.
I appreciate that. I'll take you up on that.
Tim McManus, covering the Eagles for...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.